I want to this morning, for a few moments, to look at verses 6 to 11 under the title of An Example Not to Follow. Why do we need to study these passages, these Old Testament passages? These passages that record events so long ago. They're so far away and we know nothing of these things other than what we read about. What possible purpose do they serve to us today? What possible relevance can the events of roughly 2,500, 2,600 years ago have any meaning for us today? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So they are recorded. God has recorded them for our purpose. Because no matter people today think, well, we have moved on. You know, 2,000 years is a long time. We have moved on. We have changed as a society. The Word of God tells us that we haven't really changed as a society. They lusted after these things over 2,500 years ago. And it's written in Paul's day for our example that we should not follow their example. It's recorded in the Word of God for us to learn how to live and the example not to follow. We are to set an example unto others. Paul says in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. So we're to follow the example of Paul himself. And not only Paul, but those who walk like him, mark them. Mark those who live a life of holiness and righteousness, and follow their example too. So we are to follow the example of godly men. Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he adds that extra note, that follow me as I follow Christ. So much so, if I stop following Christ, you're to stop following me. But follow me and follow those godly men, mark them as examples of those who follow Christ. They follow the example of Christ. And follow, so we can follow their example, use them as an example for ourselves. Paul's exhortation to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So there were six areas that Timothy could set himself as an example unto the believers under his care. In the word, following the word. In conversation, in lifestyle, in charity, in love, in spirit, walking in the spirit of light, not the spirit of darkness, in faith, trusting in God, in purity, living a life of holiness. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto them in all these areas. Peter reminds us as well in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, that Christ himself is an example for us to follow. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. So even 2,000 years ago, which is closer to our time than the time of Judah, the time of Jeremiah, it's an example for us to follow. So it is still relevant. The scripture teaches us that it's still relevant. Our society may not think so, but scripture tells us that it is. We haven't changed. We are like those of 2,000 years ago. And I hope to demonstrate that as we go on. But there are also examples in Scripture, warnings, not to follow. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So instead of him taking on the doctrines of the Apostle Paul had given to the church, he decides to walk disorderly and do his own thing. You are to withdraw from them. Withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly, that does not follow the steps of Paul, does not walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 goes on, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, mark him, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, that he may learn the error of his ways, and that he may turn again onto the paths of righteousness. And verse 15 goes on to say, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So he's not an enemy, he is a brother. Now, while we labour to, with humility, bring him back onto the path, yet at the same time, we're not to keep company with him as if he hadn't done anything, done anything wrong. So there are examples to follow, good examples to follow, and there are bad examples not to follow. So coming to our passage, verses 6 to 11 in Jeremiah 3, we find here in these verses the example of Israel. God made an example of Israel, and Judah ignored it. We see in verse 6 the antics of backsliding Israel. The Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Hast thou observed? Matthew Henry reasons that because what happened to Israel was beyond Jeremiah's time, that maybe he had been reading the scriptures, reading the word of God, a record of what Israel had done. Hast thou seen what backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. So she put the altars on every high mountain, planted groves on every green tree, and played the harlot. It sounds very familiar, because that's what God accused Judah of doing in chapter 2, verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou says, thou says, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. So Israel had done this, and now Judah was doing this. But that was what Israel was doing, turning to idolatry and playing the harlot, being adulterous as well. And yet, for all of their backsliding, verse 7, we see God's gracious call to Israel. And I said, after she had done all of these things, she had engaged in all these activities, all this idolatry, on the high mountains and under every green tree, and had played the harlot. Excuse me. After all she had done these things, I said to her, turn thou unto me. God's gracious call to Israel, repent. Turn away from your idolatry and turn again unto me. He could have just downed them there and then, or had them destroyed and wiped out. But he was gracious. He was merciful to them. And after they'd done all these things, he says to them, turn thou unto me. a gracious call. But Israel turned not. She returned not. She did not repent of her sins. And Judah saw it. Judah saw what Israel was doing. But Judah, as we have been reading about in these chapters, did the same as Israel. Turn with me for a few moments to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, read from verse 6. Or sorry, 2 Kings 17. And verse 6, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes. So they've been carried away into Assyria. They've been brought into captivity. The judgment of God had fallen upon them. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. So the Canaanites were idolaters, and as he cast the Canaanites out, they were to cast out their idols as well, but they kept their idols and they followed their idols. And the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah. So he spoke to Israel and to Judah against all of these things, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. So they had rebelled against God. They had taken up all these idolatrous forms of worship and rituals that God had forbidden them. And they had rejected all that God had commanded them. All his statutes, all his testimonies, the covenant promise, all of it. And Judah saw it. And saw also, verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. So they witnessed what had happened to Israel in their being overwhelmed by Assyria and brought into captivity by the Assyrians. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. did not learn from what had happened to Israel, did not take on board. She feared not and continued to play the harlot. Just as Israel did that, she continued. Didn't fear the judgment of God. Wasn't stirred to think, well, look what happened to Israel for all they're doing. And we heard the prophets speaking to them and to us. They weren't stirred to fear and say, well, we have to really examine ourselves and turn away from this idolatry, confess our sin and repent and turn unto the Lord. We didn't do that. They feared not and continued on in their idolatry and their harlotry. It's interesting. 2 Kings 17, verse 19. Goes on, we didn't read that, we stopped at verse 18. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel that they made. They followed after, they copied the example of Israel. So Hosea was the king of Israel. What did Judah do? We'll read in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5, for example. Jehoram walked in the way of the kings of Israel. King Jehoram. Verse 11, moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. So they followed after the way of the kings of Israel, and Jehoram caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, sexual lusts that are part of the ritual, the idolatrous ritual. 2 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3, Ahaz walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen where the Lord had cast them out before the children of Israel. So he had caused his children to be burned in the fires, put them through the fire. In 2 Chronicles 33, let me just turn to 2 Chronicles 33. This is Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 to 4. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. So his father had broken down these high places, but he built them up again. He reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord. In the very temple, he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. So he mingled idolatry with temple worship. Verse 9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. To do worse than the heathen. Manasseh, king of Judah, God's people, the king of God's people, teaching his people to do worse than the heathen. So 2 Kings 17 speaks of Hosea, son of Elah, who reigned in Samaria over Israel for 9 years. And they were carried away, verse 23 of 2 Kings 17, they were carried away out of their own land into Assyria. They were brought into the bondage, brought under the dominion of another. They wouldn't have God. We don't want God's laws, don't want God's worship, don't want God's commands, don't want his covenant, we don't want God. So they ended up with captivity. The Jews of the time of Christ, they were under Roman occupation. Our own nation at one time being a great empire. And about 100 years ago, our nation was at the empire, was at the zenith, its largest as it ever been. And yet there are rumblings in the colonies. People were wanting their independence. That was about 100 years ago. Now we're seeking our own independence from under European occupation or dominion. What is the Church of Christ today doing? Is the Church today following the ways of the world, or is it standing apart from the world? Jehoram, king of Judah, caused the inhabitants to commit fornication. It speaks of Jeremiah 2, verses 23 and 24. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure in her occasion. Who can turn her away? We looked at that before. This was a dromedary, a camel in heat, looking for a mate. This is a wild donkey sniffing the air, trying to find the scent of a mate. Talks about their sexual lusts. Ahaz, king of Judah, he burnt his children in the fire. Well, we don't do that today. We're much more civilized today in our 21st century society. We wouldn't burn our children in the fire. And yet we have laws that allow women to put to death the unborn child. We don't have a law in our own nation at the minute, but the Netherlands and Belgium have laws that allow children to be put to death who are unwell, who desire to end their life because of a crippling illness, abortion, and euthanasia. Will the Church in due course be called upon to bless these activities so as not to cause offence to our society? Will we be required to say that it's all right, it's merciful, it's gracious, it's kind, or else be charged with holding extremist views? What would we do? What will we do if things become worse and worse in our own land? Manasseh, king of Judah, he made the inhabitants to do worse than the heathen. Jeremiah 2, verse 33. Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. They're actually teaching the heathen worse things than the heathen taught them. They were able to teach the heathen a thing or two. They become so proficient in the arts of idolatry. They were able to teach the heathen a thing or two. Such was the heart of Judah that they followed their kings willingly. How do we know that they were following their kings willingly? Verse 6 tells us that the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king. So Jeremiah, as we learned in chapter 1, started his ministry during the days of Josiah the king, a godly king, a king who brought about reformation in Judah, tearing down the altars, tearing down the groves. And the people complied. There was a reformation in the land. But when he died, new kings reverted back to the old practices. And the people reverted back to their former ways as well. And verse 10 tells us, Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Their heart hadn't turned with Josiah. Yes, they tore down the idols, the groves and the high places, the altars, because the king had commanded it. But in their heart, they had not changed themselves. The king had, but they hadn't. And so they hadn't turned wholeheartedly to the Lord. And so he accuses them of being unfaithful, untreacherous. Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart, but finally it was insincere. Their heart was with idolatrous worship. Verse 11. Backsliding Israel is compared to treacherous Judah. Israel had sinned. Israel had built the altars in high places, had made the groves, had played the harlot, and she was cast out. But God says that backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Judah's sin was worse than that of Israel. As Matthew Henry says, there is more expected of Judah because of what they'd seen, what they'd witnessed. They had seen the idolatry of Israel. They had seen the judgment of God upon Israel. And yet, they turned not unto the Lord. They had dealt treacherously. They had defied God's judgment. They were not in fear of God's judgment. Though Israel had done wrong, though Israel had sinned and were justly punished, Judah turns out to be a lot worse. Because having seen it, having seen the righteous judgment of God, they despised it. In comparison with Israel, Judah's sin was greater. Having witnessed Israel's ruin for idolatry, Judah paid no heed whatsoever to God's warning. In Ezekiel chapter 16, Jerusalem is compared to two sisters, Sodom and Samaria. Ezekiel 16, verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. So this is Jerusalem compared to Sodom. And then verse 51, neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. They were worse than Samaria or Israel, and even Sodom, because of what they had seen, what they had witnessed, and the very fact that in Jerusalem was the very temple of God, the very presence of God. So they had neglected right temple worship, holy worship. So they had done more. They had done worse than Israel and even Sodom. Judah was judged more harshly than Israel because of the knowledge she had. But what about the Jews of Christ's day who possessed the Old Testament? We read in Matthew 11, verses 20 to 24, for example, Christ's condemnation of Chorazin and Bethsaida, for they had witnessed the works of Christ in their very towns, in their very cities, but had not repented. If Tyre and Sidon had witnessed the works of Christ as Chorazin and Bethsaida had witnessed, they would have repented in dust and ashes. And so on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for Chorazin and Bethsaida. He was on to talk about Capernaum. raised the highest heavens will be brought to hell, because they too did not repent. They too witnessed the works of Christ in their city, but did not repent at his works. And Christ says, in relation to Capernaum, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than it would be for Capernaum. If Sodom had witnessed the works of Christ, they would have repented in ashes and dust. Or sackcloth and ashes. So, excuse me. So here are cities in the New Testament times, the time of Christ, and they had all the warnings of the Old Testament. And when Christ came, they rejected him. All the prophecies in the Old Testament spoke of the coming of the Messiah. And there he was in their midst, and they rejected him. Compared to Tyre and Sidon, it'd be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. Compared to Sodom, it'd be more tolerable for Sodom. Compared with Israel, it was more tolerable for Israel than for Judah. We can turn to Matthew 12, verses 38 to 42. Scribes and Pharisees came to Christ and they demanded a sign to prove and verify his authority. Scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders of the day. And yet he says to them that they were evil and adulterous. You can imagine how offended they would be at that. We are keepers of the law. Like the Apostle Paul, point out the law that I have broken. They were self-righteous. Of course they would have been greatly offended at being called evil and charged with being adulterous. But then Christ goes on to tell them, the men of Nineveh shall judge and condemn you. Because the men of Nineveh heard Jonah and repented. You have not repented. And a greater than Jonah is here. Greater opportunity. Not Jonah, a prophet, but Christ, the Son of God. And they rejected Christ. The Queen of Sheba, she shall do likewise. She shall rise up and judge and condemn this generation. For she sought a Solomon, a wise man, wise, with the wisdom of God, full of the wisdom of God. I want to meet this man. I want to learn from this man. And she shall judge and condemn this nation, for a greater than Solomon is here. They had more than the Old Testament. They had more than the men of Nineveh. And yet they rejected it. Judgment is even greater. They shall judge and condemn you. Well, what about the church today that has both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Do we look to the ways of the world to guide us and direct our paths? We are called to move with the times, aren't we? Come in to the 21st century. We're more enlightened. We have advanced. You should advance with us. But really, they're just as sinful and wicked as the time of Christ. They're just as sinful and wicked as the time of Jeremiah. And we notice, with all these kings, it's the civil government who are bringing these things in. It was Jehoram who brought in fornication. It was Ahaz who brought in burning the children with fire. It was Manasseh who taught them to do things that are worse even than the heathen. And we know from our own time, our own days, the civil government was bringing in all sorts of laws and regulations and rules and putting them upon people, burdening them. Do you know what the children, the next generation, will learn at in school? What subjects will they learn at school? From sexuality turning gender upside down. And this is seen as a norm. This is seen as a right, a human right. Will we follow the cult of human rights, or will we stand alone from a world that follows the idolatry of human rights and turns away from the Word of God? Do we trust in the wisdom and spirit of our age? Or do we trust in the wisdom and spirit of Almighty God and what He's recorded for us in His Word? We're at a time of great confusion. Well, I'm certainly confused about Brexit. What's going to happen, I don't know. As I said, we seem to be under the dominion of Europe. We're seeking to break away from it. But are we depending upon others? Are we depending upon parties? Are we depending upon other nations? Or are we depending upon God Himself? In Jeremiah chapter 2, Judah was accused of looking to anyone else but God. Verse 18. And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Shihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria? To drink the waters of the river? Why are you turning to Assyria? Why are you trusting in Egypt? Why aren't you looking to me, Judah? Verses 36 and 37. Thou shalt also be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. You're not trusting in God, you're trusting in other nations, and you shall be confounded, and the Lord hath rejected your confidence in all these other nations. You shall not prosper. What is the church going to do? Is it going to follow the ways of the world, or is it going to stand apart and trust in God? Joshua issued this challenge to the leaders of Israel. Joshua 24. He called the elders, the heads, judges, and officers of Israel together, and he issued them this charge. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. He preserved us and kept us. And the Lord drave out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Do we follow the example of the world as Judah followed the example of Israel? It is relevant even 2,500 years ago, because God is still on the throne. God is still true. God is the one true and living God, and we are still sinners in need of salvation. Whether in Jeremiah's day, the Lord Jesus Christ's day, when He walked here on earth, or our day, do we follow the ways of the world? Do we put our confidence in our own government, in the European Union or America or whoever? Or is our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? Finish with this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen.